Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 10 and verse 38. Jesus' warning shot. You recall that James and John have asked him, spoken to Christ, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "So what do you want?" says Christ. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." They're thinking of the coming kingdom as they see it, and they want to be on the top table. And here is Christ's reply, and it's a warning shot. If only they would pick up what's being said here. Let me read the verse to you. Chapter 10 and verse 38. "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" Mark chapter 10, verse 38. You see, the reply takes has two parts to it. The first is a statement. Now, it's not just simply a statement of fact. There is a rebuke in this statement. "You don't know what you're asking." There's a powerful rebuke there. It is a statement of fact. "You don't know what you're asking." No, but it is, "You don't know what you're asking." And the second part of this warning shot, this reply, are powerful questions. Can you drink the cup I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? So the statement and the questions form one tremendous warning shot. What's the first, the statement? What's Christ saying to them? "You haven't a clue. You're childish. You're being stupid. You're being fools. You want things, but you're desiring something, but you have no idea what's best for you, what's good for you. You're thinking of your desires, and your assessment of things is so wild and wrong." He's really warning them to be cautious about what they asked for. Be very careful what you pray for. I had a headmistress once who said to me, "Praying is a dangerous thing," she said. "You pray for patience. And God gives you patience. Not by going to Woolworths or something or the local superstore and buying it off the shelf, but he sends you things to teach you patience." These people are asking, these disciples are asking for something they have no clue about, and that's the first point. And then the question, can you drink the cup I drink? Can you be baptized with my baptism? Let us be clear. He's not talking about the Lord's Supper. He's not talking about water baptism. He's using figurative language here. He's not talking literally. He's talking figuratively. That idea that this talks about baptism in the Lord's Supper is just daft. No, he says, "I'm going to be plunged into grief and suffering and overwhelmed in it." Psalm 42, Psalm 69, Psalm 124, and so on. "I'm going to be swamped in suffering, anguish, pain, torment, rejection. Can you take that? Can you take that on yourself? I'm going to be plunged into that. I'm going to be overwhelmed with that. I've got to drink that. That's how I've got to live. I've got to go through this. I'm going up to Jerusalem." That's what brought all this conversation about. They have seen the vibes. Jesus is feeling this. And can you go through that? Can you go through that? You see, Christ is going to suffer. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be obedient to the Father, and this is going to cost him not simply his life, but the agony and the torment of it. My God, why have you forsaken me? Can you go through all that? Can you bear that, says Christ to these disciples? Now, does this word have any relevance to us? Well, I'm sure it does. Do you get the impression today in the evangelical world that being a Christian and going to church, as it were, is fun, it's pleasure, it's like a university club. You can just enjoy yourself, you know. It's, of course, there's spiritual stuff in there, but yes, it's a real pleasure. If any man will live godly, righteously, spiritually in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution. They persecute the prophets. If they've agreed to me, if they've liked my doctrine, they'll like yours. But if they've hated me, they'll hate you and hate yours. Christ prayed for his disciples. I pray for them. Keep them in this terrible world. This is a word for us today, my friend. Believer, the Christian life, the gospel life, the spiritual life, is not a life of fun and a bed of roses. It's a baptism to be baptized with. It's a cup to drink, and that means suffering and difficulties and ostracism and rejection. It's a cost. But there's a word for the unbeliever here, too. You're often told, aren't you, that becoming a Christian is a prop for the feeble. Don't you believe it, my friend? Atheism is that prop. That's the escape clause. To become a believer, you have to voluntarily count the cost, deny yourself, take up the cross. And Jesus says, count the cost before you come. So I'm urging you, unbeliever, count the cost. Can you bear the cost? Not to earn your salvation, but the moment you trust Christ, you've left the world, and the world hates you. You've left the devil's camp. You've left his slavery. You're now the slave of Christ, and the devil doesn't like it. And you'll have a baptism to be baptized with. And I'm not talking about water. You'll have a cup to drink, and I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper. I'm talking about the cost of being a Christian. It's a warning shot. It's a warning to James and John. It's a warning to the evangelicals today. It's a warning to unbelievers. It's a warning to me. And it's a warning to you.